And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Hope and Chris finish the last episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Luckily, dependable Dave Filoni and crew create Rebels with new characters, new places, and new adventures, thus keeping hope alive for this podcast. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars Rebels. In this episode, when Ezra answers a distress signal from the Broken Horn, the young Jedi finds someone unexpected waiting for him, the legendary pirate Hondo Inaka. There will be Murderbot Chopper, the return of Scrotum Face, and also the return of another Clone Wars favorite, Hondo Inaka! We're talking about Brothers of the Broken Horn this week. How you doing, Kreeus?
So far, so good.
Yeah. So something I'm springing this on you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We record several weeks in advance, so by the time you guys listen, you're listening right now to this. This happened several weeks ago, but for our time yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the Phantom Menace.
Which means 20 years ago yesterday, I was waiting in line, wrapped around the giant Cinemaplex that we went to see.
So I thought it would be a little fun just to open like with a quick little thingy, because it's still the 20th year anniversary of 20 years later. How do you feel about the Phantom Menace?
I've never not liked the Phantom Menace, but I don't know if I like it more now. I probably do. I like it in different ways. I have 20 years perspective of it, and I've seen 20 years of the effect it's had on other movies and general like pop culture, and it's aging well. No matter, people are gonna joke about it forever and ever, but at the same time, warts and all, you know, those prequels, you can tell when something is soaked in into the pop culture, cemented forever, and that's when people use quotes from it or can make an easily recognizable meme of a quote or a line or an idea from it. And all three of the prequels have plenty of, even some of the stupid stuff, like there's always a bigger fish, people can always reference that, and everybody knows they're referencing Episode One whenever they're talking about something stupid, and it's a reference to throw in. So even the badness of the movie has steeped into our culture. So yeah, I'm a fan.
For me, it's kind of like twofold. It's like from what I've viewed of other people and then what I personally feel about it too. And like I really love how I've watched like the people who are my age. Like, The Phantom Menace was, like, one of the, was, I think, the first Star Wars movie I ever saw in theaters. And it, like, how the people who were kids, like me, have grown up with it. And now there is a love for people like Ahmed Best and Hayden Christensen. Like, people have grown up and loving these characters. And, like, we wouldn't have Clone Wars without the prequels. We wouldn't have characters like Padme and Sabe and Qui-Gon and stuff like that without the prequels. And they, like, this I've enjoyed being part of this generation that's grown up with the prequels, and a big part of why I love the prequel era is because of Clone Wars. But we wouldn't have gotten these characters like Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, and like, well, we had Obi-Wan, but like early Obi-Wan and like Anakin before he was Vader, if not for these movies. And so I've really enjoyed watching, like, seeing people like Ahmed Best at this past set celebration, like getting a standing ovation right at the 40th anniversary of Star Wars 2, 3 years ago. at that celebration, seeing people like Hayden Christensen getting a standing ovation, and from the people who loved the prequels. And I love seeing how it's changed. But for me personally, like, the more I consume around this time period, the more and more I appreciate it and I love it. Like, the two that come to mind is I've recently read both Queen's Shadow and Master and Apprentice. And Queen's Shadow is all about Padme and her handmaidens. And it starts, during the Phantom Menace and then takes place about 2 years later. And it's in that time period. And, like, knowing everything that the handmaidens go through in that time period, like, I was watching a little bit of it the other day and just watching, knowing, like, how Sabe is working, who she is, why she's working, knowing that Sabe is a fucking bisexual queen, and I love her. Love Sabe being a bisexual queen. There's multiple times in, like, Queen Shadow when she's like, she's hot, he's hot, I'd fuck all y'all, and I'm like, yay, Sabe! Like, so a lot of the content around it, like, and I just finished reading Master and Apprentice, which takes place about 10 years prior to, maybe 7, might have been 7 years prior to Phantom Menace, and it's all about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and, like, getting into their relationship. And, like, so a lot of, like, the material around these movies have really enhanced it for me. You know, I have appreciation for Jar Jar now because of Clone Wars. And it's, like, whether or not, like, it's a well-made movie or not, I've grown to love it more because of what it's produced out of it, and, like, the things that have come out of the movie, like Clone Wars, these books I love, stuff like that, has made me appreciate and return the movie more. So it's been really interesting having to grow up with that. And, like, recently rewatching it with my stepmom as we started the chronological journey, like, I was like, yeah, I enjoy this more than I did when we watched it on our show about 2 years ago for commentaries. And, like, we had fun and, like, we were critical and stuff like that, but that was still fun. And watching it again very recently, I was like, yeah, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed a little bit more every time because I noticed something a little bit more every time. And we wouldn't have Maul. We wouldn't have Darth Maul, who's, like, one of the most iconic characters in Star Wars.
Still popping up in movies.
Yeah, and, like, we're going to be talking about him come the end of this season of Rebels. And we wouldn't have him in Rebels if not... And he's one of the best characters of Rebels. His arc in Rebels is awesome. And he was amazing in Clone Wars. And we wouldn't have this if he was never in Phantom Menace. So, like, I think the movie's aged really well, and I really enjoy seeing where the fandom has come 20 years later, where there used to be such shit about it, but now, like, 20 years later, these people who were kids who grew up with it was like, nah, man, this was my first Star Wars. I love this Star Wars. And I mean, it's really great. So happy 20th anniversary, Phantom Menace. Yay!
I'm old.
Yeah, we're growing up. Gosh, I was 11 when it came out.
I was like, look at me, a grown-up going to a new Star Wars movie.
Actually, I was 10, because my birthday's in September, so I was 10 when the movie came out, because my birthday's in September, so, yeah. I was a little shaver.
Full 30 years old. Cannot say I was an adult.
I'm 31, and I'm not an adult, so. But, well, so what did you...
That. Tell so that to the think? Officer.
So what did you think about Brothers of the Broken Horn?
I liked it. I don't want to get to my scoring up of it so far, but it was a fun, breezy adventure episode.
For me, I'm going to go ahead and say my very first note, because it's the very first thing I wrote when I got to this episode before I even started the summary, was, to be super honest, I absolutely forgot this episode existed.
I remember when you looked it up last week and were like, oh my god, yes.
Because I knew Hondo came in somewhere, but I didn't remember where, and I didn't remember the episode he came in. And so I was just like, I completely forgot this episode existed. So it was kind of fun watching it because I didn't really remember, like, the details of it. And so it was almost like watching it new again. Like, as it started playing, I was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, this happened, oh, yeah. So it was kind of fun rewatching it because, like, it was like I was watching it new all over again. And watching it with, like, you know, Rebels' eyes of us having seen the whole show, I also caught a lot of things that I was like, oh, yeah. So I agree. Like, it's still a very, like, straightforward kind of fun, rompy episode, but I think I liked it a touch more, and I'll get more into that later, but, like, it was really fun watching this one, because I absolutely forgot about it.
This one and the last one were both just sort of simple one-and-done adventures, but the last one was a little darker and more haunted house-like, and this one's more of a, like, fun pirate adventure, you know?
Yeah. The only difference between, I think, the last two is that we know that the Inquisitors don't get past season two. We know Hondo makes it to the end, and so does Visago, for that matter. And they're both players in season four. So, like, that's kind of, like, the nice thing about this one that's not quite a one-and-done, while last week's will be one and done by the end of season two.
Well, the characters will show up again in all of them, but I mean, it's just sort of the adventure, that what happens in the episode resolves whatever happens in the beginning, you know. So it ties up with the beginning at the end. So
yeah, but well, you ready to get into it?
I am.
All right. Let me get a sip of my drink. Let me burp. All right, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Nice.
Thanks, man. Brothers of the Broken Horn is the 21st episode of Star Wars Rebels, and it was released on November 4th, 2015. It was written by Bill Wolkoff and directed by Saul Ruiz. Some extra information for you. Hondo Ohnaka is voiced by Jim Cummings, reprising his role from the Clone Wars. The back of Hondo's jacket features his old pirate gang symbol. The design can also be seen as on one of the many flags at Maz Kanata's palace in The Force Awakens. And then I found this when I was looking up the flag. I found this one out for you too, Chris. Fun fact for Chris, because I know you like this character. At Maz Kanata's palace, you can also see the flag for Zero the Hutt's symbol as well. So,
is it a rainbow?
No. Now that I think about it, it's not. It should be a big old rainbow with purple background. So,
yes.
So there are many types of posters seen in the background at the Nixus Hub 218 station, including an Imperial propaganda poster, a business networking poster, and an advertisement for Blue Milk. This episode brings back the favor Ezra owes Visago from season one. Just to refresh everyone's memory, Visago helped Ezra find Kanan after he had been captured by the Grand Inquisitor and Farkin. Another reminder, the planet Garel is the sister planet to Lothal. They start and end on Garel. It's about an hour trip on a shuttle to go between planets in hyperspace. This planet was last seen in the episode Droids in Distress. That's the one where Tua shows up with Mr. Wabo and it was C-3PO and R2, and they took the shuttle to, like, the next planet. This is the next planet. So, the music that Hondo is listening to on his ship is the same music playing in his pirate's den in season one of The Clone Wars.
Oh, it's the Lucky Leku.
No, it's not my Lucky Leku band. I'm so surprised. Thanks for reminding me.
I'm pretending that it is. In my head canon, Hondo listens to the Lucky Leku.
Everyone listens to the Lucky Leku in my head canon.
And if it doesn't fit in the timeline, then the Lucky Leku are like Menudo. They keep replacing people over the years.
I need to work on that story. I haven't had a chance to touch of it. I'm hoping I can get back into the swing of writing now that my car drama is over. Anyway, as Morgan travels in a Soro Sub luxury yacht, a design first developed by the West End game Star Wars role-playing game to represent Lando's ship, the Lady Luck, from Heir to the Empire. In Rebels Recon for the episode, Pablo Hidalgo and Dave Filoni explained that times have been tough for Hondo. He doesn't have a base, a crew, or a ship. He had all this wealth in the Clone Wars, but at some point, he has lost it all, and he is alone. And he is still trying to save his old life by the way he imagines himself to be. This is just a possible explanation, and they did touch on this in the episode. We see what could have possibly happened to Hondo's crew in the Thrawn novels. Not saying it's Thrawn, it was Hondo's crew. But in the Thrawn novel, there is a focus of the Empire specifically going after pirates and smugglers to help to protect people. Thrawn and Eli Vanto actually stopped quite a few pirates very early in their career. And here we see in this episode that Hondo has lost his crew because of the Empire. So that's just kind of a tie, and I was like, oh, he lost his crew because of the Empire. That kind of happened in the Thrawn novels and stuff. Dave Filoni also talks about how Hondo really thought he was a friend of Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Clone Wars. Dave also says that Hondo misses the Jedi, They brought a special excitement to his life, and Hondo is a Jedi sympathizer.
And I think they really were friends.
I have some notes about that, too. I mean, I think Hondo thinks they were friends. I think Obi-Wan
Hondo thinks they were better friends. I think Hondo thinks Obi-Wan liked him more, but I think Obi-Wan liked him, just not as much as Hondo might have thought.
Yeah.
But secretly, maybe a little more than Obi-Wan thought.
Yeah, so. And finally, Pablo talked about the importance of showing the seedier side of the Star Wars galaxy. It helps show us the shades of gray and challenges the morality of the characters. The morality of the characters. I cannot talk tonight. Dave Filoni also talked from a writing design production side that it allows them to be more extreme and quirky. These characters have much bigger personalities and they can match the heroes. Do you also know who is extreme and quirky?
Mm-hmm. Did someone say seedier side of Star Wars galaxy?
Mm-hmm. I actually purposely put that point last so I could like go and like segue into you, Yoda.
Oh, mm-hmm.
How are you doing this week, Yoda?
Not bad, not bad.
Did you get anything done, like some yard work or something?
Yard work, yes. Yoda scraped some muck.
It is getting to be summer time, so is
yes,
there like any
dry
like,
out the muck makes good soup. Good
is there
soup.
With it getting warmer, is some of like the wildlife getting more like rowdier and stuff?
Oh yes. Spring has sprung.
Well, your question this week, Yoda, is actually about wildlife.
Oh.
And your question comes from Mr. Ooh yeah, Paul C. Kelly. And he says, question for Yoda. I'm going to try and do a Paul C. Kelly voice. Is there any form of wildlife on Dagobah that you would consider keeping as a pet? Oh yeah, Chris does that voice way better than I do.
Many pets has Yoda. Yes, many pets.
What are they like? What are they?
All have taken up residence on Yoda. Look under Yoda's arm.
What are
sticks?
Do you have names for them?
Itchy. This is Itchy too. This is Big Itchy.
This is Itchy the sequel.
And this, Yoda has one on his butt. You want to know the name of the one on Yoda's butt?
Is it Tippy the Tapeworm?
Yaddle.
You really hate Yaddle, don't you?
Yaddle lives on Yoda's butt.
So what if Yaddle had more prettier and better ticks than you? I bet she did.
You know what Yaddle had?
Huh.
Crabs. Space crabs.
Crabs.
Lobsters. Little Akbars.
Well, it sounds like you're
tiny Akbars.
It sounds like you're taking a page out of Mama the Hutt.
It's a crab.
All right, Yoda. Well, you go take care of your pets, and you have a good rest of your week, okay?
Okay.
Bye, Yoda.
Thanks for the intro.
You're welcome. You're always my favorite seedy, extremely, and quirky person.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't want to know any of that.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the ticks.
Now, do you think those ticks are powerful in the Force because they're drinking midichlorian-soaked blood?
You know, I actually...
Force ticks?
I actually recently saw a video about that because, like, that's a very common theme in some fan fiction and, like, stuff like that. Like, if Rex was terrible... I actually read this
Jedi
fan
mosquitoes
fiction.
And stuff like that?
Yeah, and, like, what it is that, like, you can put blood, like, a Jedi's blood into something, but, like, the people don't have their body... The person's body doesn't have the capabilities to, like, actually process what's going on. So it's
what
just, like...
What if you're
like,
a blood. Jedi space vampire?
Huh.
There's some fan fiction right there. Space vampire that puts the fangs to a Jedi.
I need to tweet that. Hold on, I need to text that to Megan because she loves.
Make it so.
Theory from Chris. A space vampire. Purpose.
Got to be a space vampire, not a regular vampire. Purposely
targets Jedi.
It's a Twilight. It's a Twilight Star Wars crossover.
Use the Force and have powers. There we go. It is now texted to Megan.
It could be an interview with the Vampire Star Wars crossover.
Oh, I would read the fuck out of that,
Star Wars crossover. It could be any of this, any vampire story you want.
You actually wouldn't be able to publish it, though.
Right, but...
Anne Rice has a cease and desist against all fanfiction.
She's still like that.
Like, she... If several years ago, like, Anne Rice threatened to take fanfiction.net to court because she didn't want anybody publishing fanfiction about her work. You can't have it on AO3 either. Like, she will shut you down with a cease and desist if you publish fanfiction of her work.
So sad.
I know.
Like, sad.
I look forward to the day where I publish something. I will be like looking for like fan fiction and fan art and be like, where is it? Like, I look forward to that day. That is the biggest compliment to me, is that someone loves your work so much they wanted to continue to write their
own. Yeah.
That is just such
a huge compliment. Write stuff that you could totally ignore and nobody would care. So it has no effect on your right, you know, on Anne Rice's body of work, you know?
Yeah. So, anyway, you ready for Act 1?
I am ready.
All right. We open on the planet of Garel, the planet that's Lothal's next-door neighbor, and Ezra is training with Rex. Like last week, Kanan comes over to Grunkle Rex, and they're squabbling over Ezra's love. And Space Dad is like, being a Jedi is so much more cooler than being a soldier. And Grunkle Rex is like, well, as a soldier, he has to learn how to prioritize. And Ezra is like, oh my god, you two are on my case all the time. You know what? I don't want to be either. I don't want to be a Jedi or a soldier. Gosh, guys, gosh. Gosh, Padme. Luckily, to be... I'm going to be a Jedi soldier. Gosh. Luckily, Sabine calls a meeting to get Ezra out of all of this, and both Space Dad and Grunkle Rex are just so confused about what's wrong with Ezra, and how both of them fighting over a kid for 2 to 3 episodes wouldn't, you know, affect Ezra in any way. And they all gather around, and Commander Sato gives them a mission to find some power cells to help out some people on an ice planet. And Ezra suggests hitting up the black market on Garel since they're all there anyway. So Hera tells the team to gear up. Except for Ezra, who hasn't been able to get all his cleaning duties done for the ghost, like Hera asked him to with all of his different practices. So she leaves Chopper behind with Ezra too. The rest of the space family leaves on the mission, and Ezra is sitting on top of the ship, bitching about his life and how it was easier when he used to be alone as a thief. But suddenly, Chopper picks up a distress signal. It's from the Broken Horn, Visago's ship. You know Visago, who isn't their friend, and he's a smuggler who left them all to die before when Cal showed up that one time, and Visago's not a good dude. But anyway, this makes Ezra go, woohoo, away out of chores, let's go help Visago. So he jumps into the Phantom minivan. I realized today, just changing one word, the Phantom minivan is like the different version of the Phantom Menace.
Oh.
I was like, the Phantom minivan, because I call the Phantom the minivan because that's what it is. It's a minivan.
The Phantom minivan sounds like it might have like Scooby-Doo inside of it too.
I love it. So Ezra hops into the Phantom minivan with Chopper and says that since he owes Visago a favor from season 1, this could get them out of the IOU, and he flies on out of there. Chopper points out that Ezra is running away from his problems, and Ezra's like, I'm the freaking main character. I don't have time for problems. And he hails Visago's ship, but he doesn't get a response. Ezra decides to board the ship, and Chopper is like, what are you doing, you idiot? and they board the ship, and a door separates Chopper from Ezra. And Chopper is like, I'm having flashbacks to that creepy space station from last week, and I don't like it. And he rolls around the ship until he finds some of the power cells, the things that everyone else went on a mission to look for at the beginning of the episode. Meanwhile, Ezra turns a corner and runs into Visago's security droids. But all the droids are shut down and not working, and his spidey senses are tingling that something is very wrong here. Finally, he makes it to the cockpit, and there's the one, the only, one of J-Guy's and Jedi's favorite characters on the show, Hondo Onaka! Hondo! Yay! Hondo, we love Hondo! And Hondo is like, hey, small child thing, pointing a gun at me! We both know Visago! That's really cool and stuff, but this is my broken ship now! And he won it in a game that Visago bet his droids in a ship on, and Ezra's totally cool with all this. And just to note, Hondo can control all of Visago's droids with a remote control, you know, for plot reasons. And Ezra's totally cool with all this explanation, and he says that his name is Lando Calrissian. And Hondo's like, you're really young to be Lando kid, but whatever, hey, you want a job? I really need a crew, since the Empire's pretty much disrupted my entire way of life and stuff. And Ezra says that he has a crew, but now he notices that he's lost Chopper in all this. And Hondo laments about the good old days of when he was cool and stuff, and all of his pirate glory and whatnot. And suddenly an alarm goes off in this ship, and an Imperial ship is zooming in there, and Ezra springs into action to get the power back on while Hondo stalls. But he's not really good at stalling as he used to be, and the Empire starts shooting at them. And Chopper rushes in there and fixes the ship with Ezra, and they jump into hyperspace, and now Ezra is off on an adventure with Hondo!
What'd it's you think official.
Yeah, I love that line of, we are off on an adventure! I love that line.
I like at the very beginning, the like, when they're on that planet, you can tell it's just a little different than the planet they've been at. And like, it's sundown, and it's like this purple sundown. It's really nice.
Also, I like the overshots of Garel, because like, Lothal is more like grasslands and stuff like that. But Garel has that little touch of Coruscant, like where you can like see the city centers and stuff on the planet. It's really pretty.
And I would have named this episode Ezra Steals a Family Car, because this is totally the teenagers at home like, dude, mom and dad are gone. The car is sitting right here. We can go off on a beer run.
I for real have a note about Ezra and the whole beginning of this episode and Act 3. I will get back to that.
They left the keys on the kitchen table like idiots. It's getting more color schemes. Like I remember in Clone Wars, like Visago. For one, I really like Visago's ship for some reason. I like
it
the design
has
that
teal lighting. Like the lighting's all teal.
Well, yeah, it's green on the inside and on the outside. You know, all the lighting is like that kind of green. It just has I just like the look of his ship, and I like the inside of it too. And my other note was Hondo's listening to the Lucky Luku, and I like that he's the semi-famous Lando Calrissian. So he's semi-famous amongst pirates, which is about right. Sounds about right.
Yeah, we know this is like. Not like super early Lando. This isn't solo Lando, but this is like not I Have Cloud City Lando. So.
And yeah, it's obviously Hondo's never met Lando, or maybe he even has and is just gonna play along. You know what I mean? And be like, I like this kid. He's got balls. Plus, it's pretty funny that he's pretending to be Lando because Lando's kind of a jerk.
I thought that too, up until later on with his reaction when he realizes that Ezra's not Lando. I thought that too up until that moment.
But that's all the notes I got for part one.
Well, my first note is Hondo! I love Hondo. I love everything about him. They do a really good job in this series, like, never overusing Hondo. Like, he'll come in about once, maybe twice a season, and then, like, you won't see him. Like, they do a really good job, like, just giving us enough Hondo so we don't get sick of him.
Right, and right.
I really love Hondo a lot, and I'm just so happy he's here. He's always been one of my favorite characters from Clone Wars. He's one of my probably, like, top 10 favorite characters of Clone Wars. I really need to one day just sit down and be like, favorite characters of Clone Wars, favorite characters of Rebels, top, here we go. But, yeah, Hondo's definitely in, like, my top 10, because he's up there with, like, Rex and Fives and Ahsoka and Cad Bane and, yeah, and Embo. So, yeah, I love Hondo. On one hand, Ezra really does have a right to be really frustrated with Kanan and Rex, because this is, what, like, the second or third week in a row where they're just fighting over his training?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, like, talking about what's best for him without consulting him, without just being like, well,
yeah,
Ezra,
meanwhile,
what do you
the puberties
want?
Are setting in on him, so he's getting a little edgy.
Yeah, but also, like, they're not really being considerate to him, you know, like, he's having, like, we see in the beginning of this episode, like, he has soldier duty, he has lightsaber duty, like Jedi training, and then he also has his ship duties around the Ghost, and, like, no one's stopping to look at him going, Ezra, are you feeling a little overwhelmed? It's just Rex and Kanan just throwing their dicks at each other, trying to outdick
each
other.
Right, well, one of them's doing Jedi training, and Rex is, like, military training, and all that, like, is sort of like, you do sort of stress the people when you're doing them, but he's getting both of them at once, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not going to be a lot of, like, you know, it's also like, you got to sort of put him in the swabbing the deck role for a while, you know, because that's sort of not really like, you know, earning your stripes or something, but it's just to, well, in the Jedi way, it would be to, like, you know, work on your sense of being humble. In the military, it's sort of like pecking order, you know,
but
sort
I
of
also
thing
think
is you,
like, they all had duties, like, because we saw in season one, like, Zeb was in charge of, like, fixing and, like, checking and running diagnostics on the Phantom. Like, I think they all have duties around the Ghost. And I just, like, with, like, Rex throwing this on top of him, Kanan throwing this on top of him, on top of his normal duties, like, it does make sense that Ezra is getting, like, really frustrated and overwhelmed because all this stuff is being thrown on top of them. But I do have a follow-up note to all that. On the other hand, this is a war, and they're also trying to get him up to speed as fast as they can. Because this isn't like the situation where Ahsoka was raised in a temple to be a child warrior from the time she was a toddler. Ezra's not getting that. So they're trying to crash course him on this shit because he's in the middle of the war. And so I like a lot of the story is his world is changing really fast and he's not adjusting fast enough. And I like that angle of it too, because they're probably just trying to get him up to speed as fast as he can to be like a young Ahsoka, but he's just not getting there and he's getting frustrated and overwhelmed. So I like that angle too, because I understand where the adults are coming from, because they've been in that war, they fought that war. Like Kanan was Ezra in that war, and meanwhile, like, Ezra has only been with these guys for like maybe a year. And this is only has been his life for a year. The first 14 years of his life was not this. And so I do understand the adult's point of view in this as well. So I see both sides of why this is happening.
I agree with that.
But I have a follow-up note.
It's not as bad as Ezra as it gets in the future, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I do have a note. Ezra's getting a little bit of that protagonist-itis again. I mean, because don't get me wrong, like, these episodes are really necessary for Ezra to grow and mature as a character and stuff like that. I just don't like personally watching Ezra have protagonist-itis. It's not interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, he needs to have these episodes for him to be who he is in, like, season 3 and season 4 and stuff like that. It's just not my favorite thing personally to watch. I'd rather watch him.
This one is actually a little more pleasant with it, because it's more sort of the fun-loving.
This is not as bad as
swashbuckling.
Yeah, like Empire Day so far has been the worst of the protagonist-itis, where Ezra's like, it's my birthday, and my parents are dead, and I'm all upset, and Sibo's here, and Sibo helped get my parents killed. Yeah. So it's definitely not that bad, but it was touching a little bit on it.
I've definitely got more notes on that in part two and part three.
Yeah.
On how his character is in this one.
Yeah. My next note is, I love also that Hondo has heard of Lando. It's little things like that just, like, really enrich the world of Star Wars. Because, of course, he would have heard of Lando.
They run in the
because,
same circles.
Yeah, and so I like that. Like, he's never met him, but he's heard of him. And it's just, like, little things like that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, like, if we got some sort of thing with Lando. And he's like, Hondo? Yeah, I've heard of that guy. It's like, that kind of thing. I like that kind of ties everything together. That's what ties Clone Wars into Rebels into the original trilogy, is that you have a Clone Wars based character and an original trilogy character, and they know each other in Rebels. And I like those little things that like tie all the medias together. Those are my
sometimes
favorite.
It can be really stupid, but it makes sense in this case,
the most,
you know what I mean?
The most stupid one is the two guys from the cantina
of
A New Hope being in Rogue One.
That's the other extreme, yes.
That's
for sure.
The stupidest thing, because they had about 30 seconds to get to a ship and get off the fucking planet.
They're
before
literally
they
just
got blown
poop.
Up.
Yep.
That's the stupidest one, because they had about a minute to get off the planet. That's the dumbest one. Anyway. And my last note is, you know, before we did Rebels, we covered all of Clone Wars. And after covering all of Clone Wars and knowing who he was and where he was and how Hondo was in that series, it is actually really sad to hear him talk about the good old days when he was at the height of his power. Like, it's really sad to watch him like this.
It's okay, but now we have a humbled Hondo is potentially anyway a better character and a better like ally too, because he was he was starting to, like, you know, like he and Obi-Wan, he had sympathy for anybody, you know, for the Jedi, you know, and stuff. And
it didn't stop him from almost killing some Padawans.
No, it didn't. But this is many years later. And, you know, and now he had a little, you know, he's having little moments with Ezra. And, you know, he's just time takes its toll on you. And of course, and getting knocked down a few pegs helps, too. Not that he's a complete scoundrel in this, too. But, you know, at the same time, he's a complete scoundrel. He has several times when he could really have screwed over Ezra. And you can tell he's really taken a liking to him, you know, above and beyond just like this kid could be really useful to me and we work well together. You can tell he's just sort of like, you know, and well, more on it by Act Three. But there's a moment in there that sort of in Act Three that sort of refers to their relationship.
Yeah, and really brings them home. I probably have a note similar to that because I have a couple of those too. So, but that's all I had for Act One. Did you have anything else?
I do not.
All right, Act Two.
I'm ready for Act Two.
Act 2. In hyperspace, Hondo just looks like he's having a great time while Ezra looks really deep in thought and
Hando Calrissian.
Well, I was thinking like classical music Handel, and I was like, you should just start playing that in the background, some Handel. Anyway.
That would be a great fake name for Hondo to give out as Hondo Calrissian.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Hando. Hondo. Hando Calrissian. Anyway, Hondo's
Hando
like...
Hando Calrissian is what Lando gives to himself on a lonely night. Hey-o!
Ah!
Ooh, I hit the high note on that laugh. That's a good one.
That one just caught me really off guard, but that's really funny.
He goes, oh yeah, Lando, time for the old Hando Calrissian again.
Anyway. Hando Calrissian. High five, Chris.
Yeah.
By the way, in the one where we had Jonna Marie and Ball, I really liked all of our high fives. You were right; those were hilarious. So, oh man. All right, so I'm just gonna start Act Two over again because I just got a sentence into it before we hit Hando Calrissian. In hyperspace, Hando Calrissian looks like he's having a great time.
Yes, well, he is.
Well, Ezra looks very deep in thought.
This is like the beginning of a fan fiction.
Hondo is like, bro, can I call you bro? Bro, we work so well together. We're such a great team. And Ezra's like, yeah, we're not really a team. And Hondo, I keep calling him sorry, Hando now. Hondo then pulls a, oh, I'm a feeble old man. Old man, so old. I need help with this one job, and we can make a little trade while we're at it. Well, Chopper butts in and shows Ezra that Hondo has the power generators that the rest of the crew are currently looking for. And this makes Ezra way more invested, and he starts playing his old street rat card, using his Aladdin skills and his knowledge of the black market. And Ezra wheels and deals with Hondo until he scores a couple of crates and a little bit of money on top of it. While Hondo is schmoozing, Ezra pit-pockets the pirate and takes the control of the robots. He passes the switch to Chopper to hold on to for future plot reasons. They arrive on an icy-looking planet, and I looked it up just to make sure this is a different ice planet than the one that the rest of the Ghost crew is helping, because at first I was like, oh, is this the planet? Okay, it's not. And they land on a base called Nixus Hub 218. Ezra tells Chopper to stay behind just in case Ezra needs some help, and he follows Hondo pushing some of the crates. And Ezra asks who the buyer is, and it's revealed that the buyer is Az Morgan, a.k.a. Scrotum Face is back. And gross old Scrotum Face wants to know where Visago is. And Hondo says that he's in charge now. He's in charge of the deal now. And Hondo tries to smooth over Az Morgan, but Scrotum Face flat out calls Hondo a washed up old relic. How dare you? Because Hondo is great. And Scrotum Face turns his men on Ezra and Hondo to capture them. And Ezra hits the comm to get a hold of Chopper. Well, Az Morgan isn't buying any of Hondo's schmoozing and plans just to kill them. Hondo tries again to win over Az Morgan. But it turns out that Hondo has a bounty on his head, and Scrotum Face just really wants that money more. And then he recognizes Ezra from the Season 1 Lando episode, and Hondo's like, of course he would be on that farm! This is Lando, and he owns the farm! And Hondo, when he finds out the truth, turns to Ezra and says, You lied to me! Oh my god, we're gonna be such amazing friends! But suddenly, Chopper kicks in the door, and he does what he does best, wreck and murder things. And he crashes in there with a car, and he throws all the crates on top of the bad guys. And Ezra jumps, and then Kung Fu Jedi kicks some people. And in a shootout, there's a shootout, and it's all like pew pew pew. And Ezra uses his Jedi abilities to get out of his handcuffs. Meanwhile, Hondo's just watching going, this is not a normal child. And Ezra gets his lightsaber staple gun, and he shoots Az Morgan. But Scrotum Face kicks a thing at them, and Hondo shoves Ezra out of the way of the thing, and Hondo gets hit by the thing, and he gets knocked out and lands on a cart. And Chopper sees this, and has one of his best moments of the entire series. Straight out, Chopper picks up a blaster, and he picks up a nice next blaster, and he gives a wah, wah, wah. And he just starts shooting the fuck off thing. He just starts fucking shooting things, and he turns into the murder bot that he is, and he's rolling around shooting fucking shit, and it's awesome. Chopper is amazing in this episode. And Hondo wakes up on the cart just as it's about to shoot him out of space, and it zooms forward, and Hondo flies in the air, but Ezra uses the force to catch the pirate and save his life. And Hondo sees that Ezra, in fact, is not a normal teenager. And Chopper chases Az Morgan to his ship, and Scrotum Face runs away with nothing. And the good guys have won the day, and the pirate, too, is, I guess, a good guy now, and they won! Yay! What do you think,
Protagonist. Our protagonists have won the day.
Yeah! What'd you think of that too?
That was good. This is where I think, like, Hondo's generally really starting to, like, respect Ezra, and, like, especially when, once he finds out he's a Jedi and was grifting, scamming him, you know, he's just like, he's my buddy, you know, mm-hmm. And not just like, I can use you, he's just like, I like this guy. And, Ezra's getting better at his acting. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm Lando Calrissian. Yeah, sure.
And he
better be, too, because against Hondo, he's got to be a better actor because Hondo's going to sniff out bullshit.
You know, I think it's a little bit different because before he was trying to lie to, like, the Empire and stuff like that. But, like, this was Ezra's old life. Like, this is his bread and butter.
Yeah, he's having fun in this case. Yeah.
I actually, I have a note very similar to this, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. One thing I do really like about this episode is seeing a mix of Ezra's old life and his new life, because he's definitely letting his old experiences of being, like, the Aladdin kind of street rat, and he, like, knows the black market, like, he's using that to help him, but we're also seeing him maintaining a lot of his changes that he's had since episode one.
Yeah, he's sort of dealing with it like half street rat, half Jedi.
Yeah, and it's really nicely done in this episode. It's a really good mix of his old world and his current world.
It's an effective combination for sure.
Yeah, but please continue.
All I have are, like, pretty surface notes. Hondo made a wife joke at Scrotum Face. I thought that was pretty amusing.
A wife joke?
Oh, I can't remember the exact quote, but he made some sort of, like, oh, that's what your wife said type joke. I believe it was at Scrotum Face.
Okay.
I was just like, oh shit, did Hondo just insult this guy's wife?
I was having a hell of a procrastination this afternoon because the last episode of Game of Thrones came out yesterday, everybody, just to date this. And so, like, I would watch, like, a couple minutes of it, do my notes, and then, like, go read articles on Game of Thrones, and then come back and, like, watch a few more minutes, write a couple notes, and then go back. Like, it usually takes me about 2 to 3 hours to do podcast outlines. It took me about 4 to 5 hours because I was just fucking procrastinating the shit out of today. So I might have missed
that. It's easy with the distractions.
Yeah, I was really procrastinating today, so I might have missed it.
I like that they had a screaming death in space scene in this.
Yeah, that was very brutal when Hondo launches the guy outside and he's just flying. Wow! I was just like, ooh, he did.
And a lot of the music when they start fighting is, like, lifted right out of is, like, John Williams style, lifted right out of Episode 4, where they were rescuing the princess from the Death Star, where they first go and get her in her jail cell.
Actually, I didn't put it in the notes because I was just like, meh. But they used Jabba the Hutt's theme when they revealed As Morgan in this act, as him being the buyer, because As Morgan's design was actually based on an early design of Jabba the Hutt.
Early Jabba, yeah.
Yeah.
And my only other note is, why wouldn't a droid have better aim? You'd think droids would have some precision aim, you know what I mean?
As much as I love that scene, I don't think Chopper was actually trying to kill anybody.
Right. That's the thing, is they're not killing machines. But then again, the droid army didn't have the greatest aim, pinpoint accuracy of aim either. They weren't bad, but, like, not like you would expect a machine to be, like, to the millimeter. But you know, that's just a nitpick. That scene is awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's double blastering it too. So he's, like, rolling on a one wheel, just sort of, like, unicycling it while shooting, like, out of a John Woo movie. It was great. But that's all I got.
I'm going to start with that one because that's actually one of my notes. Chopper picking up one gun, like, holds up one gun, holds up the other, going, wah, wah, wah. Like, that's his say hello to my little friends. Like, that's, like, his line right there. And he just fucking goes off, like, rolling and shooting shit. And that is hands down one of the best moments of all of Star Wars Rebels. hands down, like probably one of my top like moments of Star Wars Rebels, because it's just an amazing moment, and it's hilarious, and it's awesome, and he has his "say hello to my little friend." I just love that moment because he's just like, it's so good. I love that moment. So
oh yeah, he just barrels at him.
I know. Oh god, like I absolutely love that moment. It's one of my, because that's actually a moment I've been looking out for, because I was like, I know at some point Chopper gets guns and just goes off, and could not remember for the life of me where it was. And like as I said in the beginning of this episode, I forgot all about this episode, so when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's happening! So, yeah. It's a very subtle thing. I didn't notice it right away, but I noticed it, and then I looked it up just to double check. Hondo's design is slightly different from his Clone Wars design, and by what I mean as his face, like the skin of his face, has more gray in it. And I pulled up a picture of his Rebels design and put it beside his Clone Wars design around his mouth and on his cheeks a little bit, on his chin. If he had a beard, it'd be gray. But, like, his skin is gray. And it's very subtle, but I like that little detail to show that, like, his skin's not vibrant brown.
Yeah.
And it was a very nice little detail that I noticed. I'll get my little note out of the way, and then I'm going to get in my big note. I like that the Lando episode had several callbacks in this. Like, it wasn't just Ezra using the name Lando Calrissian. Like, it was Az Morgan just being like, oh, you're the kid from Lando and stuff. So I liked that episode had several callbacks, and it wasn't like a one-and-done special with Lando. Like, it's continuing to have, like, these ripple effects. Which is what we were saying about the R2-DT and the C-3PO episode, because that was the episode that they met Bail Organa and got them into the Rebellion. So, like, where it used to be a criticism where it was, like, a very special episode with Lando or a very special episode with, like, C-3PO and R2, we're actually seeing that these episodes are having effects that are more than just that. And so I like that it's carrying. It's just a thing I didn't notice the first time I watched.
Yep, and they add up.
Mm-hmm. They really do, and it's really well done. My big note, and this is a little bit of a two-parter. One's actually about the episode, the other one's not. I like this idea that times are changing for everybody, and that includes the scum and the villainy of the Star Wars universe, because Az Morgan flat out calls Hondo a washed up old relic, and there's definitely like blatant ageism going on against these older pirates and bounty hunters, and like someone like Az Morgan and Visago are not recognizing and don't recognize what someone like Hondo once was. And I find that, I like that kind of transition where it's like, Hondo used to be this very powerful person, but he's not anymore because he's old and he's lost his crew. And I like seeing that kind of times changing where us as watchers of Clone Wars, we know what Hondo was in the Clone Wars. He was a big pirate. Like, he had a crew. And now he's just this, like, old man with nothing. And I like that other people like Visago and as Morgan is recognizing this as well. And I think that's a really nice moment where it's a good way to show how times have changed since the Clone Wars.
Yeah, and it's a cutthroat world, you know? It's like the mafia or something. If you're going to get old in in piracy or crime syndicates, you better amass yourself some wealth and power. So then you can have bodyguards all around you and stuff, because, you know, you get older, you're not as fast and you're not as, you know, resilient as you once were. So, you know, and Hondo did not achieve that route. He was on his way to, but he screwed it up somehow. And so he's at a disadvantage.
But it got me to wondering, because another one of my favorite characters from Clone Wars was Cad Bane. And I was like, I wonder how Cad Bane would be faring in this time period if we knew what had happened to him.
I think, like, he would be faring better because he's a hard, cold psychopath. So he could just, you know, Cad Bane would have probably arranged himself so he was in a position where he either had something on the Empire or he was useful to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't giving him any shit. You know what I mean? Cad Bane would have set himself up. Cad Bane doesn't seem like the kind of guy who wants to retire by a pool with a drink, you know?
Yeah.
He seems like the kind of guy who's just going to keep on doing what he's doing until somebody kills him.
I kind of could see him also being like the head of like a bounty hunter organization. Like he's the one that kind of organizes stuff.
Like a Nick Fury, like an evil Nick Fury.
Yeah, like he like can get jobs and like he gets a cut of it and like sends people out. But if it's like a really super good job or a hard job, he'll take it himself.
He'll go and do it. Yeah, a mercenary for hire. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of see him taking that route. And the reason that kind of brings this up is one of the storylines that they talked about at Celebration for the new TV show The Mandalorian was kind of similar to this. They talked about how one of the plot points of The Mandalorian was going to be that bounty hunters are kind of a dying breed in the New Republic, and there's just not really any good jobs there anymore. And so I wonder if it's going to be kind of similar to this, where you have the old guard clashing with the new guard of bounty hunters, or in this case, as Morgan and Hondo. And so I was like, I wonder if this is kind of like a what we're going to see in The Mandalorian, kind of.
I bet you it is.
Yeah,
I bet you it's going to be a little grittier. You know, it looks like it's going to be a little grittier.
Yeah, so I like that. I was like, this is kind of like an early sneak peek of what that possibly could be. So, but that's all I have for Act 2.
All right, are we ready to wrap this baby up?
Yep, I am.
And throw it out into space?
I also just want to throw out that, like, if you're following a lot of the lead-up stuff to the new Disney's Galaxy Edge, like, opening and stuff, they're releasing, like, a lot of comics and books of it. We know that Hondo ends up being okay. He ends up being, like, the main character of Galaxy Edge, which is set in the New Republic timeline. So, I like that, like, it's not the end of his story and stuff, and we get to see how he's been developing, and he actually ends up okay. He's, like, becomes, like, the leader of Batu or something. I don't know. I haven't been following it closely, but it's something like that, so. He wouldn't be doing bad if he has an animatronic. Hondo's gonna be fine. So, Act 3. Hondo has his gold, still has his power generators, and he's pretty happy about all of that. But he walks up to Ezra and he's like, "So, about your Jedi powers, why didn't you tell me you had superpowers?" And Ezra's like, "Well, you know, we're illegal, and the Empire is trying to kill us, and I'm pretty sure you would sell your own mother, so I don't really trust you." And Hondo says, "Well, one of my best friends was a Jedi. Oh man, when you meet Obi-Wan Kenobi in like a couple seasons, you're gonna love him. He had a really great beard. But I digress. Hey, you wanna come with me and be a pirate Jedi on my crew? Also, what's your real name, Mr. Not Lando?" And Ezra tells Hondo his real name, Ezra Bridger. They load the Zaga ship back up with all the power generators and they leave that place. And Hondo is still trying to get Ezra on his crew. And Ezra strikes up a little bit of a deal that he'll, quote-unquote, join Hondo's crew if Ezra can have all of the power generators. And Hondo is elated, and he sends Chopper and Ezra to get some liquor so the old pirate can get drunk. And Ezra's walking off, and he's like, "Chopper, did I just join the Hondo ride at Disney World? I don't actually know." And he's walking along with Chopper, and they hear some banging. And they follow the banging noise, and they find Visago inside of a jail cell. And Visago explains that Hondo actually stunned him and disabled his droids before locking Visago up. And Ezra's like, "Oh, he took care of your droids with this plot point." And he takes out the droid control switch from Chopper. And Visago decides to call him in his IOU from season 1 when he gave Ezra the info to save Kanan from Farkin and Grande. And with no choice, Ezra agrees to help Visago get back his ship, and they free the smuggler from his holding cell. And he also tells Chopper to put all the generators into the Phantom minivan. And Ezra and Visago confront Hondo, who pulls a "curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal." And Visago pickpockets Ezra, and he gets his droid-controlling plot point back. And Ezra tries to make a deal. He gets the generators, and Visago and Hondo can split the credits from Ezra Morgan. Everybody wins! But too bad the pirate and the smuggler really don't like this deal. So Fazaka turns on his droids, and now they're all fighting it out, and the droids are trying to kill Hondo and Ezra. And in the middle of all this, they come out of hyperspace and they're back on Garel. And Hondo slips out of there in an escape hatch with all the money, and he leaves Ezra to take care of the droids himself. And Ezra uses the Force to get back the
pod. Hondo leaves in the minivan.
He goes through an escape hatch into
the floor,
and then he comes out at a floor lower, I guess, and then gets to the minivan.
Oh, okay.
Because there's actually a big old hole in the floor in the fight. So the droids try to kill them, and Hondo gets away. Ezra uses the Force to get back the plot point switch, and he turns off all the droids. But Chopper starts crying for help, and Ezra's like, "Can I just have 30 seconds? Come on, man!" And he runs out of there. Hondo has kicked Chopper off the Phantom and is now stealing the Phantom and the generators and the money. Fazaka and Ezra are now, and he flies away, and he's all like, "Goodbye, I have your shit, bye!" And Hondo flies away. Fazaka and Ezra have now lost everything, and Fazaka's like, "Fuck you, child!" And he shoves Chopper and Ezra into an escape pod and shoots them out to the safety of Garel. And Ezra's just like, "Oh my god, how am I gonna explain to Hera that I lost the minivan and I took it and I didn't do shit, and oh my god." But Chopper says that he knows where the Phantom is, and they follow it to find Hondo with the rest of the ghost crew, who now has the generators. And Hondo is spinning a wild story about how brave and great Ezra was, and how they together defeated Visago. And Ezra's like, "I call bullshit, and you stole from us." And Space Mom Hera and Space Dad Kanan both look a little bit proud of their space son on this one. And Sabine and Rex are there too. And that's when I realized, where the fuck is Zeb? Zeb's not in the shot. He's not with everybody else. I don't even think Zeb's in the episode.
I don't think he even shows up in the episode for a second. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't leave with them, and he doesn't come back with them, and he's not in the final shot. Where the fuck is Zeb? We are now on Zeb Watch 2019, people. It's on. And it turns out, Chopper had programmed the Phantom minivan to autopilot, so it automatically returned right back to the ghost, where everyone was waiting. And Hondo's like, "Well, okay, bye!" And he tries to leave, and Ezra walks out with him, and he says, at some point, he might have joined Hondo's crew. And Hondo laughs, because deep down, Ezra has always been a Jedi. Kanan comes up to Ezra and asks his space son if he got everything worked out. Ezra has his protagonist monologue that even if though he used to be like Hondo, he's not like that anymore. And he has a family now, and he's not alone. Hera? Ezra still has chores to do. And he stole your ship. He put himself in danger. He almost lost your ship to a pirate. Make Ezra do his goddamn chores. He doesn't get off the hook just because he's the main fucking character and got the power generators. This episode should have been ended with Hera going, "Good job, kid. Now go do the fucking thing I told you to do at the beginning of the episode." God, the end. That made me mad. I was like, he shirks his stuff, steals the car, goes in danger, almost loses the car to a pirate, and it's all happy and good now. And I'm like, no. It should have ended with Hera being like, "Really, Ezra, thank you for getting the generators. That was awesome. You really need to go fucking do the thing I told you to do at the beginning of the episode. Kid,
yeah, no, you know, though, he was so wound up there that, you know, let him off the hook. He saved the day, and now Ezra is a little happier. He's not going to be as snippy and grumpy. You know, he got to blow off a lot of the steam he was building up. So I that was my last note, is Ezra gets a pass because he got it done. And all the stuff that, you know, he almost lost a ship and all that stuff, that's all just par for the course of their everyday adventures, you know. So Ezra just went on an adventure, which means you almost get killed, you almost lose your ship, you lose everything, but then you get it back. At the bottom line, and I think that's why they specified this at the beginning of it and put a little timer on it. It wasn't just they generally needed those power batteries. They needed them so the settlers wouldn't die soon. So it was like kind of a hurry. So Ezra saved lives. So even though he stole the car, he saved lives. And part of, you know, he's getting better at the free improvisation. And he's got his own style of it, and maybe they're letting him explore it a little bit. Because, like, I was like, oh, Ezra's really... Why would he tell Hondo his real name anyway? And then I was like, but Ezra's kind of the, you know, empathetic Jedi. You know, he's the one who, like, picks up on the feel, you know, maybe more so with animals, but I'm sure he's more trusting with people. And he's gotten smart enough to where he just doesn't trust everybody. But when he feels a rapport with someone like Hondo, he's more willing to be, like, kind of open with them. And I'll tell you my name and be like, hey, Hondo, you know, I might have joined your, you know. He relates to him as a person, which is also, like, something rarely, like, space pirates actually have happen. You know what I mean? It's all either business or scoundrel relations. So... we've, like, a lot of the stuff that we've seen in the past that's worked against him all worked for him this time and saved the day. So, but then again, off screen, they might have been like, go wash the stuff, or he might have been just like, well, go, time to go wash those things, thingamabobs, and like, oh, look, we didn't even have to ask him, but they just didn't want to film that scene or something. I don't know.
I'm gonna say yes to all the Ezra stuff you just said. Yes, okay. I agree. I say no for the him not having a consequence of it for two reasons. For one, he could have really put the crew at a disadvantage on this mission.
Sure.
Because they use the Phantom almost every week. And right, if he lost the Phantom for good, that would have been a detriment to them. Mm-hmm. If he had gotten hurt or killed or, like, captured, they would have to go rescue them.
Where he was.
Yeah. And so even if it was a thing with Hera going, you did a really good job today, you can do the chores when we're done with the mission. Like, just something to be like, you're not going to get away with not doing your responsibilities, because he still has responsibilities that he totally absolutely shirked and could have fucked over a lot of different ways.
Right, right.
And so I wouldn't mind, like, if it was something of, like, Hera just being like, you did really great, you can do that stuff once we're done. And
also,
hold on, there's another point too. And this is kind of a pet peeve I have. And I really, the first time I came across this was back when I was a nanny, is a lot of times, because this is a younger audience show, this is geared towards children. And a lot of times, like in younger kids' shows, the kid protagonist gets away with things because they tend to have, like, either, like, the morally high position, or because it's a kid show, and a lot of times in, like, younger audience shows, a lot of times the adults look stupid because the kid outsmarted them. Right. The first time I really came across this was when I was a nanny, and I was watching an episode of iCarly. And in the episode, iCarly and her friends were specifically told that they couldn't go to this wrestling event by her brother, and her older brother is her guardian, because he's an adult. And he specifically says, you can't go to this thing. And they go to it anyway. And the older brother ends up getting hurt at the event. And Carly and her friends have no consequences. They just kind of laugh it off at the end. It's done as a comedic thing. And I'm watching this with, like, an 8-year-old going, this isn't a good message.
Lawsuits would have been involved in real life.
Yeah, like, this is not a good message to teach a child. That, like, if you go and you do what you fucking want, that there's no consequences.
Do you know how loud she gets grounded in real life? That's how I kind of felt here.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I felt here. It's like, Ezra shirked his duties, could have done a lot of damage to the Phantom, could have lost the Phantom, could have fucked up the entire mission, could have got captured, could have got killed, and he has no consequences shown for it. And so, like, yes to all the character stuff with Ezra, because it was much needed for his character and he had a good arc, but I still wish there was something to tie back to, like, there's consequences for what you do. And that's what kids need to learn is, even though Ezra ended up winning in the end, there were still possible consequences to his actions, especially since they're in a wartime. And, like, that is just, like, a little pet peeve I have about younger audiences shows is sometimes, like, the kids get away with shit because they do the good thing.
Yeah.
And no, that's not a good message.
It's also a lot more appealing to kids to see that, too.
Yeah.
I love watching shows like that. I think they made two movies with him. Disney made him. They used to show him on, like, when Disney had a Sunday night show, and it was, the character was the Whiz Kid, and he was this little kid who invented stuff and solved crimes, and basically just like proved all adults to be idiots.
Yeah.
And got away with a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff.
Especially in this time period, because this time period of like animation has a lot of really good shows going on around it. Like, and I always quote these three, Avatar the Last Airbender, Steven Universe, and Gravity Falls. And what they really do really well is that the kids and the adults actually respect each other. And like, so the kids take advice from the adults. And when like when they have problems, they go to the adults, and they have really healthy relationships between the kids and the adults. And this is out during that time period. So when I actually saw this at the end, I was like, it's good that Ezra had this journey and he needed to have this change. And it was really good. But there were massive consequences for his actions.
Yeah,
if anything went wrong.
He's getting treated more like an adult. He's almost like a clone in some ways, where he's been drawn into an actual, you know. So they've got this kid in their responsibility, but he's also part of a team that has to fight, kill, and, you know, be improvisational on their feet. And, you know, like, I mean, all right, we're going to get into the story elements that are, you know, it just happened that, like, the whole foundation of his adventure was he was bored. He didn't want to do the work, and he saw an opportunity. He's like, and also it would be like, I could also see him being like, I would, you know, like to help Visago because, well, actually he didn't even know it was Visago at first.
He knew it was Visago's ship.
So he knew he had a debt to him. So he was like, okay, here's my chance to pay him off and get out of work. But like, he had no idea there were power cells involved in all, you know, out of all the things that they could have been fighting over, it was the exact thing that they needed. So it was almost like, yeah, the Force helped guide him to this or something, you know, that he followed a course that's kind of Jedi-like by the call to adventure presented himself to him. And like you could write it off like that, but that's not what his motivations were when he did it. But that's how it worked out. But nobody on the crew knows that except for Chopper.
Yeah. How do you think they felt when they showed
and
up? Chopper's
his partner in crime in it, too. And Chopper's going to want to get credit for the power cells, too. So I like that it's a little less that it's a little it's not like, you know, it's not like Breaking Bad or even Clone Wars morally ambiguous, but it's the edges of how a minor is existing in this world is a little different than say Steven Universe or something like that, although I've never seen Steven Universe, but you know, something with like a real family in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, imagine like Kanan and Hera coming back and being like, where's Ezra? Where's Chopper? Where's the Phantom? We have to go on our mission. Where are these people? And then this pirate shows up with their ship.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that side of the story when they were like, who are you?
And a pirate ship with exactly what they needed in it. And then Ezra right behind it. Here it is.
Yeah. So, like, that was probably my only, like, real pet peeve of the episode. Of a really good episode. So that was my pet peeve. But please, Chris, continue with the rest of your notes.
I only have one other note. Very important note. And I don't know why I've never noted it before, but maybe it's especially in this part. But Chopper really sounds like a chicken sometimes.
I know!
He sounds like an angry mother hen just going, brawk, 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 brawk. Yeah, an annoyed. He makes noises like annoyed hens when you're taking the eggs out from under him. But that's my only other note.
Dave Filoni is the voice of Chopper. Are you saying that Dave Filoni sounds like a chicken?
He does in this episode especially.
Well, honestly, I have three big multi-part notes because my only like small note was my, well, it was just a small note of Ezra needs to do his freaking chores, and then I went on a rant, so whatever. So, remember back when we were covering Clone Wars, and we were doing all the Hondo and Obi-Wan episodes that we were covering, and I kept saying back then that it's important because it's going to come back into Rebels? Here it is!
Yeah.
And I think this is multi-part notes, I'm going to go point by point. I think a big reason why Hondo has such a soft spot for Ezra is because of his frenemy status with Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
He trusted Obi-Wan to keep his word. Obi-Wan, despite Hondo capturing him in the past and trying to kill the Jedi, Obi-Wan was always true to his word when Obi-Wan and Hondo faced off against Maul and Savage, and Obi-Wan actually helped save Hondo's life. And we talked a lot about how early seasons of Rebels has been setting up for, like, the big finale later in the show, but I feel like in this case, Clone Wars really set up Hondo and Ezra's relationship together because of Obi-Wan.
Here's a chance for Hondo to make friends with a Jedi clean, you know, not a full-grown cynical Jedi, not that Obi-Wan was cynical, but, you know, cynical about pirates Jedi.
Yeah.
And also, you know, one that's a little bit pirate himself. So, yeah, it's his perfect chance to have the relationship with Obi-Wan with it being more reciprocal.
Yeah. But, like, it was always interesting because, like, early episodes of Rebels always, like, dictate stuff later in the season. But I think this is the first case that we really see that something happening in Clone Wars affected Rebels. Outside of, like, Ahsoka and Rex. But even then, Ahsoka and Rex haven't really done much. Like, this actually affects, like, the story for the first time. So, also, like, how sad was Hondo's normal life that a Jedi, one of his enemies, was considered one of his best friends?
Well, like,
how lonely was Pirate Hondo that Obi-Wan, his enemy, was his friend? Like, that's
he also might want to claim, like, some of the higher status, you know, knowing a Jedi is, like, there's a lot of Jedi in Coruscant, but just free roaming around in the galaxy, you don't run into a Jedi every day. And to claim one as a friend, you know, and he's a pirate. So over the years, you know, oh, yeah, I knew Obi-Wan Kenobi during the Clone Wars. Oh, yeah, I was friends with Obi-Wan Kenobi during the Clone Wars. Obi-Wan Kenobi, my best friend, you know.
I used to make that joke during the Hondo episodes, too. If you go,
he's had plenty of time for it to evolve into that.
Yeah, especially, like, I make that joke in the episode recaps when we did, like, the Obi-Wan and Hondo episodes where he was like, my friend, my future best friend, we're friends forever, best friend. Right. We'll be really good friends. Also, a total complete side note, I just was thinking today, and I kind of want to write this fan fiction. Hondo has a job, and he goes to Tatooine, and he's doing a job on Tatooine. He's just walking through, and he sees someone across the street, and he stops, and he realizes who it is, and he just goes, Obi-Wan, my best friend! Hi, Obi-Wan! And Obi-Wan's just like, oh, fuck me! Bye!
Shut up!
He runs away. I was thinking about that earlier of, like, Obi-Wan just being like, fuck, Hondo's here! I think it was actually Aaron Henley then messaged me on Twitter. He was like, and then Obi-Wan has to go around to every person in Mos Eisley and, like, mind trick them going, I'm not the Jedi he said I was.
he's got to do a Men in Black on him.
Yeah. But I would kind of have liked to have seen Obi-Wan and Hondo together, like, one last time, you know, like, just to have, like, old man Hondo and old man Obi-Wan, like, meeting at a cantina on Tatooine, and, like, times are different, like, they're not enemies anymore, they're both on hard times, and just to have, like, one drink together, like, that would be a really cool thing. Like, I would have loved to have seen that one last time, so... So, I didn't tell you about this beforehand, but it was something I was personally kind of, like, keeping an eye out for during this rewatch, was Visago's changing character. And the reason when I watched season 4 for the first time, and this is me going from memory, so let me say that, this is me going off my memory of me watching season 4 for the first time, Visago in season 4 was kind of soft and a little bit silly and became a really big comic relief character. But as we were doing the rewatch early in season 1, he's actually pretty scary and he's ruthless and he leaves them to die a few times. And so, like, one of the things I wanted to rewatch, like, kind of keep an eye out as we were rewatching is, like, seeing Visago being this, like, kind of ruthless smuggler character in the beginning and how he transitions into, like, that comedy is soft guy at the end of the season.
I think
this is, like, the really first time that we're starting to see that shift a little bit. Because, like, he owes Ezra. So that's a thing. Like, that's a thing he can't ignore. But he still turns the droids on Ezra. He uses his droids to try to kill Ezra and his Visago. But there's still a shift that he's not quite as scary as he was in season one, because he's lost his ship, he was captured, and he even has like a very comedy line of going, "Ugh, I hate children," as like Ezra's happily waving at him.
I think I have a theory on that.
Yeah.
On why he softens up. And it's
because Ezra's the protagonist, and he said
It's because all of them, like in early on in the show, Visago presents a character like Visago presents a little more of a threat to them. But as they start fighting, you know, Darth Vader and Inquisitors and stuff like that, a guy like Visago could still be dangerous, but he's not as much of a threat as what they're used to dealing with. So dramatically using him as a threatening character isn't going to hold as much weight, because he can't be taken as seriously when they've been fighting these Sith, you know, dark side of the Force users and stuff like that. So they probably were like, let's use him as he's somebody that we're familiar with. He's a pirate, you know, he's kind of a scoundrel. Let's use him a little bit more for comedy relief than as a heavy, because all these other heavies around too.
And that goes with something that Dave said in Rebels Recon, he likes writing smugglers and villainy characters and stuff like that, because they can be more extreme and have bigger personalities.
And we get fond of them, too.
Yeah, and I do think that there starts being a change of, like, the Empire is encroaching on Visago's work as well. We saw a little bit of that in Season 1. And because he was like, you brought the Empire here, bah, I'm leaving you to die, bah. So I think there's also a shift of, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right, yeah.
Kind of mentality. But it's just, I remember, like, watching in season 4 and just being like, why is Visago so sucky now? So that was, like, one thing I wanted to kind of keep an eye out as we were rewatching. And I didn't tell you about it sooner because in the back of my mind, I was like, well, maybe it's just a me thing. But then I got to this episode.
I'll be keeping an eye out for it now.
Yeah, and then, like, as I was watching this episode, I started seeing a little bit of it, like, Ezra and Chopper waving to him in an escape pod. He's just like, ugh, I hate children. And I was like, that's a funny line. But even then, like, he's kind of soft in this episode because he's lost everything to, like, an old man. So, like, it's something I'm going to start keeping an eye out more, because I've been kind of secretly watching that without telling you. Because I wasn't sure if it was just me. And my last note is another multi-point note. I'm going to go point by point by this. What I really like about this episode, it's a story about growing up from many different points of view. And so first we have Ezra, and we talked about it a little bit at the beginning of this Act 3 notes, that Ezra is maturing and he's taking on more responsibility and he really wants things to be easy, but he's also starting to realize he can't hold on to his kid life anymore.
It's kid life.
Yeah, and we talked about that already. And the second point of view of growing older is Hondo. He's growing older, he's probably well into his middle age, and he's still trying to grasp on to the struggles of his younger days that he can't go back to, and he's not handling it well. I'm sure if he had a chance, he would have, like, buy a red sports car if he had a chance. Like,
right.
Hondo's having,
characters
like
Hondo are just not going to take it well, right?
Yeah, and this is like midlife crisis Hondo. Now that I think about it, this is midlife crisis Hondo. So, like, Ezra's going from a kid into a teenager to starting to get into adulthood. Hondo's going from adulthood to midlife crisis. And then I started thinking about it last night, because I started the notes last night and then I finished them today. I kind of realized that this is a story about fans too. Because people who watch the Clone Wars and they saw Hondo in his prime are now older. People who were kids are now teenagers. Teenagers were now adults. For me, I was in college when Clone Wars came out, and then I was an adult when Rebels came out. So it's also a story kind of about fans growing up as well. Like, we're seeing the characters that we love from Clone Wars, like Rex and Ahsoka and Hondo, then they're growing older, and time has changed for them. And it's being presented in a way that as we grow older too, these are kind of guides to help us grow older on our own journeys.
Yeah, Hondo's a little ahead of the curve. Plus, yeah. Hondo, you don't really, like, travel that route with him. You just catch him further down the line, which is kind of neat.
Yeah,
you're following Ezra more than anything.
And it's almost like a Grimm's fairy tale, like the original Grimm's fairy tale. Like, these are stories of like what not to do, and like Hondo is a story of what not to do.
Right. Yeah. He's a positive character in the frame of like pirates, because he's a little better than most of the pirates as far as like being a good guy. But in general life, yeah, he's exercise and poor decisions.
Yeah, and it's a story about change. Like, by the end of it, like, Ezra is, like, opening up more to change and, like, willing to take on this responsibility and stuff like that. And Hondo walks away by himself with a pile of money, and he's not, like, willing to change yet. And that's why he walks away alone while Ezra walks away with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really kind of, like... And we'll see by the end of the show that, like, Hondo's going to change as well. But, like, we're seeing that Hondo's not handling change very well. And, he has those, like, little quiet moments where when he talks about his past, when he talks about the Jedi, like, the good old days that he used to live. And he is not there anymore, and he's not handling change well. So it's not only just a story about growing up, it's a story about change as well, which is pretty much the same thing. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. But that's all I have for this episode. Did you have anything else?
No, I'm ready to score it up.
All right, score this puppy up, Chris.
I would have given it about a 7.5, but it's getting a Hondo bump of 0.5 to an 8.0. I thought it was a fun episode. It's always good to see Hondo. And, you know, you heard our nitpicks, but the nitpicks didn't really make me feel ill of the episode. Yeah, a good solid episode. Nice colorful, fun episode.
Yeah. For me, this episode could have like the feel of like a normal run-of-the-mill episode. And my average score for average episode is 7. But Hondo bumped it up a little bit for me. I love Hondo so much, and I'm so happy he's made it to Rebels. He really is one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. And this is just a fun romp, even though, like, there are points that are a little bit predictable. You know kind of where it's going to go. And it's fun seeing how the scum and the villainy of Rebels so far have been converging together. Because, so far we've had, like, 3 scum and villainy characters. We've had Asmorgan, Visago, and now they introduced Hondo. And, like, these are, like, characters that are outside of the Jedi and the Empire and stuff like that. So it's kind of fun bringing together, like, these other, like, scummy characters for an episode. And they also brought back a Clone Wars fan favorite, which is always fun and nice. So, like, I gave it a 7.75, just barely under an 8, because I don't think it's quite to, like, the episodes I've rated at an 8 so far this season. It's just barely under there. But it's definitely not an average episode. So I give it a 7.75 out of 10.
Mm.
Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, and on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on Twitter, because when you rate and review the show, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review our show on iTunes, it helps people find the show. So if you haven't left us an iTunes review, we would love to hear from you, and it would really help us out a lot, too. And this week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode covering the Rebels Season 1 wrap-up, and it's all about the Callus Volution.
Alrighty. And yes, the first one is you basically introducing it. The first Callus Volution.
Where's my Valley Girl voice?
The first Callus Volution.
Squiggly line.
Squiggly. Little squiggly tail. It's a little horsey tail, like a My Little Pony tail at the end of it.
That's like my little line that I write when I'm just like, yay! I'm like, yay! Whenever you see me, like, write that little, like, squiggly line, it's me just being like, it's a happy, like, yay!
It's like a little banner waving in the wind.
Yeah, it's like a little happy thing, like, yay! So, that's what that is.
I'll call it the squiggle.
The squiggle.
All right, the first one's from Aaron Henley, and he said, I wondered what you'd call the recap. I was kind of partial to the Zebulation, but I know Callus is your favorite, and I probably should have mentioned that before you recorded.
Honestly, with as much as they're already starting to drop Zeb out of the show, I fucking might do a Zebulation at some point.
Hey, nothing. It's our show, man. I'm not gonna stop you.
Yeah.
All right, and we've got one for all. Well, I should say, all right, we got one from Paul C. Kelly.
Ooh. Oh yeah, you guys actually get to hear him do a real Paul C. Kelly voice because mine sucked in the Yoda question.
What will Rex think when he finds out that he's been replaced for the Rexvolution? Over the hill now! Maybe he'll make a comeback next season. Or is that Rex's midlife crisis talking? LOL.
You know, I usually don't plan like the Rexvolutions and the Kallusvolutions ahead of time. Because Rex and Kallus faced off this season, I am sort of already planning about how I'm going to do that in the Kallus and Rexvolution. So I am already starting to think about that a little bit, about a crossover between the Kallus and the Rexvolution. So, yeah. So I was thinking, since we did the chocolate locker last week, we should do the vanilla one this week.
Okay, well... Oh, the
wafer
locker?
Thing? Yeah, so we did the chocolate one last week, so...
Yes.
Well, if you don't know what we're doing, Chris is weird, and he hates American Kit Kats like a weird person. So our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, sends us candy from all over the world to review. And this week we're doing the Lauker bar, and it's made in Austria. And it's different.
No,
from the
this chocolate. One's Italy.
No, what? No, the...
The vanilla one. Italy. Look further down the list.
I see it. So this one's Italian. The chocolate one we did last week is from Austria. I think last week we were talking about how the packaging was different. We were like, oh, look at the packaging. Open. I want to eat you.
Two candies from the Axis from World War II in 2 weeks. But they were good candy. These ones look just like the other ones except vanilla.
I want to eat you. Open. Ah, it's crumbly.
Oh, they're good.
This one's super crumbly. But it's really
super
good.
Super crumbly.
It's not as sweet as the one from last week, though.
The vanilla is more like frosting, like, and not like very super vanilla flavored.
Mm-hmm. I like it, though, because it's not as sweet. I don't like super sweet things. I need like a napkin for this. I am spilling crumbs everywhere. Oh, a tissue. Hi, tissue.
Oh, they just, when you eat them, you end up getting dust down the front of your shirt. There's no avoiding it.
That's exactly what I did. I'm actually going to move this back and put this on a tissue so it's not as crumbly on top of me. There we go.
These are good.
These are super good.
I have to stop eating them because I have some ice cream I want to eat later, so I can't.
We have pound cake. And we took some lemon custard and some Cool Whip, and we mixed it together to make, like, a lemon Cool Whip to put on top of the pound cake. It's really good.
I'm sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
Throw some strawberries on there in your...
That's exactly what we did, because we also made some strawberry vinaigrette from scratch. Not to put on the pound cake, but we made some strawberry vinaigrette from scratch, so we had some leftover strawberries that we also put on top of the pound cake.
Yeah.
It was really good, so...
That's good, yeah.
Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at tutufreaks.com, which is our website where we keep all our podcasts. And for once, like a smart person, I have pulled up the website, so I can actually... Let me just name off some of the last few episodes that we've put up. Just by this. They're a couple weeks old by now, but this is just your general week at Tutu Freaks. We've got Rangers Chronicle Episode 32, Something Fishy, and Lions and Blizzards.
That's a Power Rangers podcast.
That's a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers podcast, yes. And we've got the Dave Cave, Episode 16, Shaman Book 4. And this is a Batman podcast by J. David Weider. We've got Back to the Bins number 368. So there you go. The longest running Tutu Freak show, Back to the Bins, is a weekly show. And, you know, you got Paul, you got Dr. Bill, you got the other of the Tutu Freaks, my best buddy Scott Gardner in this one. So this is like hardcore classic Tutu Freaks.
Yeah, Back to the Bins has been running before I joined the network in, like, 2008.
Mm-hmm. And, yep. and we've got third degree burn special on location episode with featuring the one, the only William Shatner. There's an Eat It and Beat It episode featuring Roadkill and Furries. And then we come across a Jay Guys and Jedi episode and a Bots, Bugs, and Babes episode of Mad Max Fury Road, my favorite movie from the century, by Jason Giaconetti. And Tritus Magnus Punches Reality, Tough Guy Talk, New Avengers number 7. That's his 272nd episode. The Man of Screen podcast, the Superman podcast by Mike Zumo. That's at episode 130. Yay, wow. And then another Rangers episode. So that's about a week of Two True Freaks podcasts right there. And some weeks there's more. Like usually once a week I'm putting out a garage sale gloat. And there's always a Jay Guys and Jedi every week coming out Wednesday at the crack of midnight, usually, if I got my shit together. We are also on Facebook. There's a Two True Freaks page on Facebook, and there's a Two True Freaks Cantina for idle chat. There's a Twitter feed run by the legendary, the electrifying Gene Gene, the podcasting and dancing machine. Gene. That was like kind of from the inside of the Vader mask.
I was actually thinking that. Like.
But that's where people can find me. Where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at JayGuysAndJedi on Twitter. JayGuysAndJedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter account. You can also find me at Hope Molinex. I also have a website called whatthefangirl.com. And I also write fan fiction on Archive of Our Own, or AO3 for short. My name on there is Chaos Lydia. And my main story is Forces of Gravity. I'm finally hoping to get back on top of that because 2019 has been shitty, but it's fine. So I'm almost done with a chapter for that. I also beta read Valkyrie Strike for my friend Megan. So that's one that we work on together. As Chris has mentioned several times, I have a side story called The Lucky Leku about Agent Callus going undercover of a boy band called The Lucky Leku. I also, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because we're about a month away from having a guest on our show. And our next guest is going to be Sean from Roll to Fail Podcast. Roll to Fail Podcast is a Starfinder podcast where, if you don't know what Starfinder is, it's D&D in space. And they just finished their first arc. And Sean is the GM for the next arc. And he is a huge Star Wars fan. And I'm so excited to have him on. Like, him and I talk just all the time about Star Wars. He loves Rebels. He's so excited to be on. He's going to be on our episode for Future of the Force. And the reason I bring this up is because I also wrote a Roll to Fail fan fiction for their show, and I just happened to come across it, and I'm like, oh, I should say that Sean's coming on. So guys, please go listen to Roll to Fail. It's a really great show. They just finished their first story arc. If you want to jump in now, by the time this episode comes out, they should be starting their second story arc. The first one is straight up Starfinder. It's like a fantasy, fun, fucking romp in space. And then the second one is going to be a little bit more cyberpunk. So if that's your cup of tea, they should be just starting the second story now. And you can hear them over there. They're so much fun. They're super pro LGBTQA because they have a transgender player. They have a non-binary player who's my very, very, very good friend Jess, who I love them so much. And they're just like super positive and so much fun, and I can't recommend it enough. And so you get to the second half of the first arc, and now all the feelings are coming. So it was really fun the first arc, and now the second half of the arc, fucking feelings are coming, and I don't like it, guys. Don't take me back to my happy Roll to Fail time before everyone was hurting. Stop it. So goes to Roll to Fail, guys, and Sean will be on our show in 4 weeks for Future of the Force.
Excellent. I'm always looking forward to meeting new meat.
Yeah, and Kelly, who is the GM for the first arc, she's a big Star Wars fan too, but she hasn't watched Rebels yet. Me and Sean have both been hounding her to watch Rebels. But I would really like to have her on the show at some point too, because I think she has really good insight on like Star Wars role-playing games and like in role-playing Star Wars. So maybe that's like something that we can do between seasons, maybe between season 2 and 3, have Sean and Callie on, because they both have done Star Wars campaigns. And I think that'd be just a really fun thing, just to kind of shoot the shit, talk Star Wars tabletop, and just talk about Star Wars in general. Yeah. Sean, I have talked to, is not a fan of the Phantom Menace, and he actively pretends that it doesn't exist. And I'm just like, no.
Well, that could lead to, that could lead to some scintillating interactions.
So yeah, so I'm hoping to have Callie on at some point too, because she is lovely too, and I'm very excited for you guys to talk with Sean, because he is just, he's really, I've never talked to him in real life, we've only talked through like Facebook and stuff, so I'm really actually excited to talk to him in person. He keeps trying to wrangle me into his Star Wars role-playing game with like him and a couple other people, but I'm just like, I don't have time in life, but I would love to role-play with you guys, like you and like Parker and Callie and stuff, so... But if you guys want to know who Sean is, go give Road to Fail a listen. My suggestion would be an episode called Honey Hut. It is a standalone episode. It's excellent. It was a one-off episode where they played two pandas and a honey badger trying to steal the honeycomb of Abraham Lincoln. It's a standalone episode. It's fucking hilarious. I can't recommend it enough. And Sean is one of the players in that episode. So if you don't want to listen to the first 40 episodes of their Starfinder arc, just go listen to Honey Hunt. It's a very great episode. It's,
yeah, how can you resist that scenario?
Yeah, two pandas and a honey badger have to go steal Abe Lincoln's honeycomb. It's great. And the thing is, they're fucking bears. So they'll walk up to
Abe Lincoln keeps it the honeycomb hideout.
No, they're actually trying to steal it from HoneyCon, which is a convention for honey enthusiasts. So it's two pandas and a honey badger trying to sneak into HoneyCon, but they're bears in suits. The thing is, they're fucking bears. So whenever they walk up to a person, they're like, "Sir, ma'am, we need to take your car," but the people just hear, "Rah, rah, 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 rah," because they're fucking bears.
That still translates out to more or less the same thing anyway.
Yeah, so... Yeah, guys, go check out Roll to Fail. It's really great. And I can't wait to have Sean on the show and have you guys meet him. And actually me meeting him, too, over Skype. So this will be fun. So, but that's all I have for the episode. Do you have anything else?
Nothing. I have no idea what's coming next week.
I think next week is a Hera episode. If I remember correctly, I think it's the one where we find out that Hera, a Twi'lek woman... Twi'leks were normally like slave labor and stuff in Star Wars, and like are like this downtrodden race that's always being invaded. Yes, I'm right. Next week, Hera, a Twi'lek woman, becomes the first person ever to fly a fucking B-wing. You better believe I'm gonna have some praise for this fucking episode.
Okay.
It is a big moment in Star Wars, and she is the reason we have B-wings in the original trilogy. Fucking Harrison Dula, y'all. I would mic drop, but my mic's expensive, so I'm just gonna smack it.
Mic smash.
Bye.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
The guy rings up. Wait a minute. I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm nervous. Let me see. Oh, Alexander Dumbass. Oh, Henry Dumbass.